Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
I'd like for everyone to open to the book of Psalms. We are about to start a series of messages on one psalm, the most well-known psalm of all. What's the most famous psalm that there is, everyone? 23. Psalm 23. We're going to look at Psalm 23 for 3 weeks in a row. I felt like the Lord really spoke to my heart about this. And we're going to be looking at a subject that is deeply spiritual and that is very important to God. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be, if you want to be strong in the Lord and live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, well, you have to find out. Someone put up a verse yesterday. Find out what pleases the Lord. How many want to find out what pleases the Lord? Well, what we're talking about today really pleases the Lord. I need a little. There's a gentleman. There's a little bit of a feedback up here, you're going to be surprised at the title of this series because it's probably not what you would think. But is everyone ready? The title of the series is Rest. Rest. How many know to God, it's important that we would be people that really walk and live in and experience spiritual, everyone? Rest. And what we're going to do is, especially today, I want to treat this a lot more like a prayer meeting. I have a longer introduction. Typically, when you have a series, you got to explain a couple of key things, and we're going to be doing that today. But I want to give you an introduction and just make a couple of quick points and then have the time for us to really to pray like we did in the first service. It was awesome. And can I tell you couple things. Number one, when you read Psalm 23, a lot of people have Psalm 23 memorized, and I want to encourage you, memorize Psalm 23. We're going to be in it for 3 weeks, and it is powerful. It's there's a reason why it's the most popular. There's something about Psalm 23 that is attractive to people. And you know why it is? It's because Psalm 23 speaks rest to our hearts. So memorize it, and when you memorize the Word of God, it really helps you in your walk with God, because when you take in the Word of God and you've got it memorized, you use it at a whole different level. It takes you into a new place. When I was in high school, I used to fence, and how many know fencing, you know, with the swords, you know, so that's about as far as I could go now without hurting myself. But that's my deep lunge right there. But when you fence, there's something called parry riposte. So when your opponent attacks, what you're supposed to do is parry. You're supposed to block with your sword, and then the riposte is the reply. And how many know that's the way the spiritual life is too? The enemy attacks, and what do? We parry him with the truth, with the word, and then we reply. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was tempted? Satan attacked, and then Jesus, he parried the lie of the enemy, and he said, "It is written." Amen? And so I want to encourage you, get the word of God in your heart. And then also, every time you come to church, you should come to church ready to pray for someone. Just amen myself, you know what I'm saying? Every time you come, you should come to church ready to pray for someone. Amen. The Bible says, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. Should it be house of preaching, house of this, house of that? No. My house shall be called a house of prayer. When people ask me, why is your church so mixed? People say that all the time. It says, because we do what the Bible says. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Something happens when you really pray for people. you love them at such a deep level that you stop seeing all the nonsense that the world sees. How many know God doesn't see color or checkbooks or education or neighborhoods? He only sees his children that he loves. And how many know we should just see the children, our brothers and sisters that we love? Isn't that the beauty of the kingdom of God? Amen? Hallelujah. If you struggle in that area, well, pray for people that are different than you. Watch. You just fall in love with people that you pray for. It's an incredible thing. And so even at the end of this meeting, why don't you get yourself ready to pray for someone? We could pray together. Okay, so the title of this series is Rest. And let me tell you something. We have a lot of new believers here. This is not just for new believers. This is also for people who've been serving the Lord longer. I can tell you that this subject has been very, very meaningful to me as we have journeyed through getting into this building. As we've journeyed through getting into this building, this is a beautiful place, but let me tell you, it was really hard to get in here. You know, and yet, even though you're moving, you're going to see this in a second, okay? No matter what's going on in your life, God wants you to be in a place of rest. So in order to explain this, I want to go to a couple verses in Hebrews first. If you could put that up. Hebrews 3:16 says, "Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt?" These are the people that Moses delivered out of Egypt. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his, everyone, rest? To whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Next, a little bit further, next verse. Watch this in 4:11. It says, "Let us therefore," this is New Testament, right? "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that," everyone, "rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." So here's the thing. When you think about rest, you think about the traditional definition of rest. In Webster's dictionary has it this way. Rest is cessation of motion or action of any kind to cease from work. When we think of rest, we think just chill out, rest. We think, take a nap. How many love those afternoon naps? Hallelujah, love those naps, right? We think you're not doing anything. But what we just read is different. What we just read is about movement. It's rest, but it's action, it's active, it's movement. What the book of Hebrews is referring to, brothers and sisters, is that when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, how many remember they were delivered from Egypt? Do you know what God did to deliver them? 10 plagues. Not only did he send 10 plagues on Egypt, but it was 10 plagues and he parted the Red Sea. 10 plagues, parted the Red Sea, got them through. And when they got through, like in a short order, they were in the desert and they were short on water and they started to grumble and Moses struck the rock and water came out of the rock. So 10 plagues, parted the Red Sea, water coming out of the rock, and still that was not enough for the people. They got to the shoreline of the promised land and they never entered in. And God said that to enter in, right, to enter into rest was to enter into his what? Promised land. So rest was entering in. Rest, this spiritual rest that I'm talking about, is not that you go home and you take a nap. It's not that you say, you know what, I need a vacation. You know, some of us would say, I need a long vacation. How many feel like, you know, I need a long vacation, right? So that's not what rest is. You can go on vacation and not really have rest. You can do all, you could go to the spa, you could get extra hours of sleep, you could do all sorts of things and maybe physically be rested, but spiritually you are not entering in to his rest. Now watch, watch. Rest, the rest of God that he was talking about in the promised land, that rest, it consisted of three things. If you could put that up. The rest of God in the promised land was marked by three things. It was marked by peace, blessing, and victory. So he was saying there's all sorts of enemies in the promised land. I want you to go into the promised land. I want you to take the promised land. And as you go into that promised land, you're actually entering into my rest. Which means he was saying, I want you to walk in and experience the victory and the blessing that I have for you, but I want you to do it in a state of peace. That means to live your life instead of in stress and worry, to live in peace. It's not God's will that we would be stressed out all the time. You don't know anything about stress, right? Entering into the promised land, which was entering to his rest, okay, it meant that God started to work in such a way that there was an abundance of blessing. Okay, now I'm not into, if anybody who knows me, I'm not into the prosperity gospel. Okay, that you just name it and claim it. That's ridiculous. That's silly. Okay? In the New Testament, you could really have a state of nothing, like the pastor that I just spoke to. He was like, would you please consider adopting us for $26,000? We could build a little local hospital. The women can't give birth and all this kind of stuff. Here now, cars cost $26,000 here, and how many people have a $26,000 car? Lots of them. In America, this is the land that has everything. Everything is just so abundant. I'm not talking about that, but there is an abundance of blessing in a person's life. There's an abundance of joy in relationships. It's not just material. There's an abundance of peace, an abundance of strength, an abundance of hope, a lightness and a blessing. How many know when you're blessed, you know it's the blessing of the Lord? It's not just having stuff. I knew someone who walked through the home of one of these billionaires that is on TV. Walked through the home. I don't want to say his name, but everybody knows him. And he walked through the home, and as he walked through the home, he said there were works of art. The guy was really saying, you see that? That cost me $3 million, that work of art. And this is in New York, and that cost me this, and that cost me that. And you know what? The person was so miserable. He said it was one of the loneliest places ever. How many know material goods, that's not necessarily blessing. It's part of blessing, but it's not necessarily blessing. We're talking about an abundance that God gives where he just blesses your life and your stuff. And then victory, but this is rest. Victory reflects conflict, but in the midst of conflict, there's personal triumph that in your heart, you're getting the victory. There's this personal triumph, personal growth. You're moving forward. And so this rest is moving and yet being in rest. So what does spiritual rest mean? Spiritual rest is possessing the peace and blessing and victory that God has promised to his people. You know why God was frustrated with the Israelites? Because they wouldn't go in and receive what he wanted to give them. That's why. He was like, how could you be so unbelieving when I've done all of this? Look at what Alexander McLaren said. This is really powerful. He said, rest is not ceasing from motion, but in motion being at complete trust in God. Okay? It means that when you go to work tomorrow, or whatever challenge you're facing, whatever situation, whatever project, maybe you got a big project going on. This building was a huge project. And we came against so many challenges, so many obstacles, so many things hanging by a thread. you know, so many things hanging by a thread. And you know what God wants you to do, even though when it's kind of crazy, he wants you to rest. He wants us to be at rest. Illnesses. We get stricken with crises, and he says, don't worry. Just be at what? Rest. Doesn't make sense that the people of the world have problems and that we're not going to have problems. How are we going to witness to them? Andrew Murray said this, only faith can enter into rest, and the fullness of faith enters into the fullness of rest. So we all understand that the rest that we're talking about is a rest that's filled with movement and activity and faith. And yet, the way it takes place is that we are at what? Rest. God desires to be calm. I'm going to read the verse, the text in 1 second, but I want to say one more thing before we get into this. You know, it's interesting being a parent because when you're a parent, many times your kids walk in, and some kids are easier to read than others. I think Susie, my oldest, she was the easiest to read. But your kids come in, and you say, how was your day? And they could say, it was good, but you know it wasn't good. Why? Because you just look at their face, right? How many parents, can I see your hands? You know what I'm talking about, okay? Or you say, hey, what are you doing? They go, nothing. And you go, oh, that's something. Come over here. Don't tell me that's not nothing. That's something. You know. So, but sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes you don't see what's going on. But what I want you to know, right before we read this text, and then we're going to pray, just a couple points. What I want you to understand is, for God, God always sees every second of how you're doing. Every second, God sees how you and I are doing. And for God, it is important to him that you and I would have rest. And so David was a young man out in the field, protecting the sheep, fighting lions and bears. And he's got to be that he looked around and said, wait a second, I'm fighting these wild animals. I'm killing myself for these sheep. Who's taking care of me? And the Lord, he looked up to the Lord, and this is what he said. Let's look at this real quickly. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack, everyone, nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All of the commentators believe that David was a shepherd boy when he wrote this. Because after David left the fields, he became a king. He became a soldier and a king. And so this was written in the context of David being alone and still having problems and challenges and difficulties. And yet when he looked up, he looked around, God said, David said, you're my shepherd. Your rod, I'll fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's keep going. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then let's read this last one. Ready? Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at how the Good News Translation puts the first two verses, and then we'll pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me, everyone, rest. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. Now, what we're going to do based on these first couple of verses, we'll cover the whole psalm, But for today, what we're going to do is we're going to cover what I would say is the first layer of rest. This is fundamental to all of us. And so the title of my message today is Rest in His Provision, because the first layer of rest, which I'll show you in a moment, the first layer of rest revolves around the provision of God. The first layer of rest revolves around the provision of God. Everyone is a provision is the most basic and fundamental need of man. Here's what provision means. Go ahead and put the definition up. Provision is the act of supplying for one's needs in a timely fashion. This has been said in different ways. I think Stephen Covey said it the best when he talked about everyone has four great needs. Okay, everyone has four great needs: to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. And what Psalm 23 is saying when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need," he's saying that God takes charge of meeting our four greatest needs. Now, here's how this works. First of all, we all have a need to live. How many know when you don't have oxygen, you only think about one thing: air, right? And then once you have air, if you have air but you don't have water, how many know you can only live so many days without water? And then once you have water, you want food. Okay, and once you have food and water and air, then you want shelter. We all have basic needs. Needs that help us to thrive. And that's one facet of it, but that's not all provision. Not only do we need those basic provisions, but we also need to love. Every one of us was made to love. Human beings were made to love. You see, human beings were made for connection. And when little babies don't receive love, when they don't, things go wrong, they don't develop correctly. Everyone here was made to be loved and to love. You were made to be in rich relationships, abundant relationships. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's right. All of us. And it is a human need. A human need. We all need to learn, because all of us need to grow and develop our minds. I was talking to someone recently. When you come to Christ, God develops the whole person. And God wants us to be, how many of God wants you to have a good cocoa? He wants you to be smart and to grow, because there's something we need to grow. And then lastly, to leave a legacy, which means that when you have life, and when you have love, and when you're growing, everyone wants to make a difference and have a purpose. There are so many people here who struggle because they say, man, I just want to make a difference in this world. You ever feel that way? You want to make a difference in this world? All of us do. And so this is all about us really experiencing spiritual rest, and spiritual rest begins with resting in the provision of God. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I know that this is one of those messages. We won't necessarily scream and shout and God, run around the building. But Lord, this is a message that's important to you. Because Lord, if we don't learn how to rest in you, we can't go deeper. We can't grow in you. Lord, some people are stuck in worry, in stress, in fear, in anger. Some people have been let down somehow. They feel like they've not been provided for. And God, unless we learn to rest, we cannot move forward. So God, would you move upon this service? I'm just going to make 2 points, Lord, quickly. And Lord, would you breathe upon our hearts today, and would you help us all to rest? I pray, Lord, that no one would leave this building today burdened, oh Lord, confused about whether you will take care of them. So bless this word, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Musicians, come quickly. Okay, I know, forgive me for the long intro, but these 2 points, we've looked at Psalm 23 so many times. These 2 points are very simple, very, and yet very powerful. So what is rest based on? Number one, this kind of the Lord's rest is based on the one who is the provider. So the Bible says, the Lord is the shepherd. No, the Bible says, the Lord is everyone my shepherd. I have everything that I need. And so the Lord's rest is based on the fact of who the provider is. And how many know the provider is the shepherd? Did you know that Jesus said, I am the what? I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Look at what the Bible says here in the book of John. He says, I am the good shepherd, as the Father knows me and I know the Father. In the same way, I know my sheep and they know me, and I am willing to die for them. He was willing to lay down his life for us. And when it comes to the provision of God, it begins by us understanding, how many know we have a good shepherd? We have someone who loves us. That's what David said. David concluded that Jesus was the good shepherd, and he didn't have to fear about how he would be taken care of. I think of the disciples on the boat, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and maybe Jesus is sleeping in your boat today. Maybe you feel like, you know what, Jesus has been asleep in my boat for about 10 years. You know, that's the way things get sometimes. We start to lose perspective. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. The storm rages, and they flip out, and they are shaking Jesus. Jesus wakes up and says, what is wrong with you? That's a Brooklyn paraphrase. What's wrong with you? Don't you know I'm your shepherd? And he speaks peace, and the sea lies still. You think that a storm in Lake Michigan could turn your life upside down? You could be standing on a popsicle stick in Lake Michigan. And how many know Jesus can keep you? And so, the issue of provision begins with him being my shepherd. You want rest, you got to get to the place in God where he's my shepherd. David didn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. How many want Jesus afresh and anew to be my shepherd? Man, everything changes. Life gets so good. Gets so good. Earlier I told the story of George Mueller, who in the 1800s had an orphanage. And over the course of his life, he served like 10,000 children. 10,000. And there was a day when they had run out of food. And his whole ministry, this man never asked anyone for money. He would just pray. And there was a day when they had run out of food, and the mother of the house said, hey, there's 300 kids here, hungry, there's no food. And he said, hold on, I think Look, George asked her to take 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, by the way, you should get George Mueller's book called Answers to Prayer. Phenomenal biography. But he says, within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. How many know the Lord is our shepherd, and he's always on time? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something today, okay? Keep your eyes on the shepherd, not on your circumstances. Get your eyes back on the shepherd. Jesus is a good God. He's a loving God. He's never late. He's always right on time. And he does all things well. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Very quickly, the Lord's rest is also based on time. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. Is means now. Is means today. Okay? The rest of God is not just previous. It's not just future. How many know the rest of God is present? Rest is trusting his present nearness versus the uncertain future. When you rest in God, you're just trusting that God is going to be good. Listen, I don't have the time. Okay, we're going to go a little late, but I don't have the time to tell you. But when we were doing this building, we had so many issues. We got our certificate of occupancy. And without the certificate of occupancy, you can't have church. You understand that, right? You can't open the building. Well, we got that the Friday before the Sunday that we opened. Now, don't you think that we try to get that a little bit sooner than that?
Yeah.
One delay after another delay after another delay after another holdup after another holdup. But we had gotten a word from the Lord that said, don't worry, and here's the thing. God gave me this years ago, and I've been using it since. What you need will be there when you get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had finances hold up. I didn't say this in the beginning. I don't want to stress anyone. We had some situation. It wasn't our fault. We got our financing, but the title company held up money. We had a day when the electricians walked off the job. The work stopped because of stuff, you know? So what do you do when you got to move? And you know what you do? You rest. Because God is always right on time. We kept telling Pastor Matt, and I would say, hey, God's decisions are our realities, and God has decided to move us into that building. We're just going to chill out and rest. How many know nothing can stop the powerful, amazing will of God for our lives? Can I get an amen? If you're going through a storm, I got 50 stories, but I won't tell you. But if you're going through a storm right now, rest. God knows. He knows what's going on. He loves you. And you can rest that he's going to take care of you. In the book of Matthew, he says, stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop worrying about provision. Look at what it says, and I'm going to close right here. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? In other words, God, are you going to provide for me in the area of living? Or are you going to provide for me in the area of love? Or are you going to provide for me in the area of legacy? God, what are you going to do? He says, stop it. For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. How many know God knows what you need? He knows what you need. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, here's where we end here. That word, seek first, that word seek, it literally means worship first. So you have a need today? Here's what that means. Seek first is worship first. Now that makes sense, because whenever you approach God, this is why we want to teach you how to worship. You got to learn how to worship, because the Bible says when you enter his gates, you enter with what? Petitions? Nope. The Bible doesn't say that. Okay, the Bible says enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And enter his courts with what? Praise. How many know every time we get close to God, we should be honoring him and worshiping? So this says worship first. Right? Worship first. Seek God. Seek the face of God, the heart of God. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And all things will be added to you as well. I came home last night and I had my message pretty much done. And Chrissy was at the piano and she said, Al, I got to teach you a new song we're going to sing tomorrow. Okay? And could you put up the lines for that? And then we're going to close. Singers, if you could come. Listen to this. Here I quiet my soul. You are all that I seek. Still within me, the worries of life. Here my heart is at peace. I draw near. I draw near to you, Jesus, I do. You draw near. You draw near to me. Now, the reason why this is so awesome, I was like, Chris, I'm actually preaching about this. The Lord led you. I don't know about you, but I burn out songs. How many people sing one song till your own ears are saying, would you please stop singing that song? I do that all the time. So this is a new one for me now that I could burn out. Because what I've been singing, when I get in, like, I need spiritual rest, could you stop that? Because I'm so, that'll throw me off. When I'm jammed up, I always sing, when I'm, like, struggling with rest, don't know what to do, right? I always sing, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Listen to that. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. You tell me that you're walking in the city of Chicago someplace by yourself or singing in your kitchen by yourself with a problem. You tell me, anybody who understands the heart of a father, give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord. Strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Is anybody here today? You've been going through it. You've lost your rest. Okay? You've lost your rest. We ask God for so many miracles all the time. God, heal this person of cancer. God, do this. God, do that. We ask him. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest, best, most wonderful and important blessings is that your heart would be at what? Rest. We don't have a lot of time, but if you're here today, you're overwhelmed. It could be a variety of reasons. Maybe you feel like the Lord let you down. Maybe you feel like God hasn't provided for you. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay your bill. Somebody said to me yesterday, I didn't know how I was going to pay my bill for this month. I've been short on work and I prayed and God got me work and I'm going to meet my needs because of the goodness of God. If you're here today, you need the Lord to sweep the stress off of your heart and your mind. It's the key to stepping into greater levels of blessing. We're going to pray today that God would lift stress off of someone, and fear and worry and disappointment. Some people have put their trust in men, and you've been let down. We're looking to the Good Shepherd today. Things haven't worked out, and we're not recognizing that all things work together for our good. Today we're seeking Him. We're going to enter into His rest. Now remember, you never know what someone brings into this building. So could we begin to pray right now to the left and to the right? Pray that God would sweep away stress. Pray that God would sweep away fear, anger, worry. God, be the shepherd of our souls today. God, bring people into a new level of peace, oh God. Pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. Come on, don't be afraid to open your mouth and pray for someone. We look to you today. You are the good shepherd, oh God. Come on, pray. God, help us to see that you're the good shepherd. Make the shepherd good again in our hearts and in our minds. Speak peace to homes. Speak peace to families. God, sweep over today, oh God. Remove the worry, God. Help us to keep moving even in the midst of difficulty, oh God. You will provide. You will provide. You're the good shepherd. Blessed be your name, oh God. Hallelujah. We come against worry today in the name of Jesus. We come against fear in the name of Jesus. You hold the future, God, in your hands. God, we come against the paralysis of the past. God, we rebuke it. You're the Lord of the past, oh God. Bring joy and freedom. You're the shepherd today, oh God. So we thank you, God. God, we pray that, Lord, what is important to your heart would be real in every heart. We pray for rest, knowing that we can trust you. You are the great provider. You provide for all the good things that we need. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would send your people out rejoicing in your goodness, drawing near to you, Lord, knowing that you will draw near to us. We thank you for all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, could we give the good shepherd a hand of praise? Come on, let's put our hands together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, God.